After the preaching, we will have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing Psalter 403, all the stanza after the preaching. Before we get into the sermon, congregation, I think it's good to pause for a moment and just say how good God is to you as church. It's the first Sunday of a new year, and you don't have your own pastor, but the Lord is richly blessing you as congregation, not only giving you many more covenant children in your church family, but you, as you begin the year, you have worship services under the preaching, and you have baptism this first Sunday, and we have preparatory services for Lord's Supper next week. I mean, God is really good to you. You're being spoiled. Are you thankful? We surely should be, shouldn't we, for the blessings God has granted to you. I think, too, of all of you family members who see your loved ones here with baptism, and grandparents see your children's children be baptized. What a privilege, what a joy, what a blessing. We got to see just now the God of heaven and earth come and visit your little ones. You love your little ones. And God says, I want to reach out to them very much too. You kissed your little ones. And God says, I kissed them too. In baptism, he kissed them with his love and pledged them all they need for now and forever. That's really special, really great. Now, for this service, what we want to do further is think about what we read about in Mark 10, verse 13 to 16, and it's also referred to in Luke 18 and also in Matthew 19. These passages are about Jesus and children. And you know this passage well, no doubt. But we want to think about it for this special service. The theme is Jesus and children. And we will follow three main points in connection with it. We will be thinking about Jesus' loving call to children and his loving lesson from them and his loving blessing upon them. Thinking now about Jesus' loving call concerning them, that's our first point. And the text tells us about it, doesn't it? Very clearly. What happened on a certain occasion? There were mothers and fathers, maybe even grandparents too, wanting to bring little children to Jesus to show his love, that he might show his love and care for them. And Mark writes for Jesus to touch them. And Matthew explains that means they wish Jesus to pray over them and to bless them. Well, these parents were thinking and believing Jesus to be a genuine teacher of God and someone who showed care for the weak and the needy. And so they looked to this Jesus for his mercy and help and loving kindness for their little ones. Because our little ones, at this stage, they're so weak and needy, aren't they? And they looked to Jesus that he might help them. They turned to Jesus. They looked to him to guide and help their children in the way of true promise for the future. And even for fullness of blessing with God in every way, for this life and the life to come. And so they lined up. You know, you see Costco lineups. Well, they lined up to Jesus. But Jesus' disciples, we're told, they didn't like it. They kept holding them off and turning them away as they lined up to meet with Jesus. And they even, as it were chasing them away. This lineup of parents wanting Jesus to show attention to their little ones. As the parents kept coming with their little ones, Jesus' disciples kept sending them off and trying to keep them from Jesus. And in their minds, they did this because they thought Jesus was too busy to minister to little children. He had bigger and better matters to attend to than to reach out to infants and toddlers. Well, what are we told when Jesus observed what was happening? What does the text say in Mark 10, verse 14? But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Literally, he became indignant and even angry at their response. And Jesus told them to stop it. You see, the disciples here were misrepresenting their master in pushing away the little ones from Jesus. They were showing and reflecting the loveless, corrupt culture of that day, which had little time for children. It's in general the same in our world today. We got time for pets, but not for children. The disciples reflected, as one put it, their, quote, spiritually narrowed heart arteries. Their spiritually narrowed heart arteries in pushing away these parents with their children. And you know, we sometimes as parents too can have spiritually hardened or narrowed heart arteries towards our children and not pay attention to them enough. There's a story about a boy that I read who wanted to know how much his dad made per hour when he came home from work. And his dad didn't like the question, but the boy kept asking, "Dad, how much do you make per hour?" And finally the dad, just out of frustration, said, "Okay, I make $35 an hour. What do you want to know? You don't need any more toys. You don't need any more candy." And he was irritated by the question. But the boy, he had saved at least $20. And when he found out his dad made $35 an hour, he said, "Dad, can you give me $15? And why did he want $15? He wanted to add it to the 20. And then he said, "Dad, I have 35. Can you spend 1 hour with me? Can you spend 1 hour with me?" And when that was said to the dad, of course, it broke the dad's heart because he realized he misunderstood his boy. And it reflected a problem we all can have in family life. We get so busy, we don't have time really to be there for our children, especially too at nighttime. Oh, parents, at nighttime, when you bring your children to bed as they grow up a little bit, those are such sweet times. Take care to have those times to minister to them, to bless them, to teach them, to be near them, to grow to love them, understand them. Now, today, admittedly, the problem in family life is more often indulging children in a wrong way rather than neglecting them and spending quality time with them. But both extremes are out there, aren't they? And we need to be so careful as parents, don't we? God help you to be parents faithful in your calling. It's hard work, but God help you and bless you in raising your seed. But more seriously, in our text, the disciples here, their narrowed heart arteries came out more in they were misrepresenting Jesus to the parents. They were giving a wrong picture of who Jesus is and what he is like. Parents, and really all of us, we are called, sister members, we are called to represent God in Christ Jesus as to what he's like to our children, to our little ones, to everyone in the church. And what can we say about the Lord in relation to children? Who is God like in relation to children, also to little ones? Well, we know, don't we, congregation, there isn't a single child in this world that Jesus, as God come in the flesh, doesn't care about. And those parents who are committed to God and his word and who desire their children to be under the care and the protection and blessing of the one only Savior God, well, the Lord most certainly will welcome and reach out to with all his attention and gospel ministry to those children. They are what the Bible calls his covenant children. All God's word in both Old and New Testament show the Lord as covenant God in all generations, as just so caring, especially, yes, especially for the children of believing parents. The Lord is the covenant caring God and our covenant keeping God for believers and their seed. And this explains, you know, the song that we sing often, most often with baptism, Psalter 425, verse 5, based on Psalm 105. That song, calling to the seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended. Listen, Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham he does uphold. For those of you in the Netherlands, that's Psalm 105, verse 5. As well. Well, in this context, we have these precious words, congregation, of Jesus in our text, saying in stern rebuke to the disciples, suffer or allow, permit let the little children come to me, and forbid them not. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verse 14. Well, do you hear with me what Jesus is saying? His loving call to the children. The Lord Jesus, when here on earth, he knew very well that we live in a fallen world and how very needy our little children are, including all six that were baptized this afternoon. As dear and beautiful as all six definitely are, as we saw. Yet, what does the Bible teach about us and our children? Our children, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, are conceived and born in sin. And they desperately need the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins and to be reconciled again to God in his mercy and love. As one put it, children have a certain innocence, but they are not sinless. And Jesus knew this. He knew that they did not have to be taught to do wrong, that their little hearts were naturally bent toward evil. A while back, I saw a little 2-year-old with a shirt on that read, "Here comes trouble." And we smiled at that. A little 2-year-old, cute little kid, with a shirt, "Here comes trouble." But behind that saying is the reality, isn't it? Our children are conceived and born in sin. And they're full of trouble on their own. I say it almost every baptism service, what one preacher said. Our little ones are like vipers in diapers by nature. And as parents, you know it's so true. You'll find out, also you are, I think two couples here, first-time parents, you'll find out how quickly this sin nature of our children shows itself. Indeed, and except they be born again, yes, except they be born again spiritually, our children, also these six, what will become of them? They will live and perish in their sins. Who knows what kind of monsters of iniquity they might be? But listen, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, including our children and children's children. So Jesus instructs his disciples, let or allow, suffer the little children to come to me, and stop right now from hearing them coming to me. Isn't this wonderful and reassuring for you as parents, for all of us, especially as Christian parents with our children? By God's grace, when you are Christian parents, you've learned how much you need Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. You need Jesus to make you right with God and to live right with God before God. And now, even as you recognize this, you bring your children for baptism. When you do it rightly, you're saying, Lord, as I need you, I know my children need you. Please remember them. Be merciful to them. Be merciful to them. And then you have this promise from God with sign and seal of the sacrament. I will be merciful. I am the God of believers and their seed. Let the little children come to me, Jesus Christ the Lord, the one only Savior God. Isn't that comforting and encouraging? And your calling will be, yes, to raise the children along with your other children. Yes, to raise them in the way of the Lord and under his word, under his gospel, time and again. And with the baptism now of your little ones, you have God's pledge. As you do that prayerfully and diligently, God will also reach out to your little ones. We as congregation have been witnesses of the Lord triune committing himself to your little ones this service. We saw him visit you with a sign and seal that he will be a faithful covenant-keeping God also in your generation and that of your little ones. When Jesus says, for of such is the kingdom of God, he's saying here, he means, this is the kind of Father God the Lord is. As the Lord of lords and as the King of kings, he cares for the little children, especially to his covenant children, the children of believers. Again, with baptism, just as we witnessed it, it's it's most special because we have a hard time believing that God really cares for little ones. But God says, I'm going to show you. And baptism is him showing it to us visibly that he cares for us and our children. And he verifies his gospel promises to the little ones. And we witnessed it. Now, the water of baptism isn't magical. And you should tell that to your children later. And it's not extra special water, but it's just ordinary water that points to the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins when we trust him. You know, just as water is used to wash our bodies, so the water of baptism points to Jesus who washes us in the inside, who cleans us from our sins, from our sinfulness. Too many people mistakenly view baptism by itself as that which saves us and as a ticket to heaven. But you can be baptized 1,000 times, but it won't wash away a single sin from your life. It's only Christ and his shed blood, once offered and applied to you by the Holy Spirit, that brings redemption for you and your children. And it's good that you teach your child that and your children that time and again, by precept and example. Well, God bless you, dear parents, in this your high calling about Jesus Christ, teaching them about Jesus Christ and their need of him, and telling and showing them God helping you as you raise them day by day. What a Savior God the Lord is for all who turn from sin and trust and follow him. I said this earlier, that the sacrament is a gospel-centered sacrament. And now your calling is to be gospel-centered parents. And may God help you be that. And time and again, to reflect to your children, there's nothing more important you know in life than that they come to realize their sinfulness and come to believe in Jesus and look to him and live for him. May that be reflected in your whole family life and parenting of your children. And here we come to our second thought now under our theme, Jesus and children. We have considered something of Jesus' loving call concerning them. Let them come unto me and don't forbid them. Now let's think about Jesus' loving lesson about them. Very interesting in the text. What does Jesus say in Mark 10, verse 15? Verily, or you could say assuredly or truly, I say to you, Jesus says to his disciples and all in his hearing that day, younger and older, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What does Jesus mean here? Well, Jesus uses the occasion, as he always does, to teach another lesson about how people are saved. And how are people saved? People are saved when they humbly and heartily receive the gospel message as it is proclaimed to them. In a similar way, as a little child just receives and believes and takes to heart what his or her parents say. That's so special in family life. You'll find that your children, just in the early years, they just believe everything you say. That they're so moldable that way. And what a responsibility. But they believe what you say. Parents, children believe that. And Jesus is saying, to receive the kingdom of God means, as a little child, to receive the gospel. To be truly saved and reconciled to God and heir of his kingdom, the gift is freely offered to us and our children by God in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And we are to be childlike in faith in receiving it. On the cross, the gospel is, Jesus paid the punishment for sin that we people deserve. That's what his blood is all about, his blood shed on the cross. And Jesus offered up at the same time a perfect sinless life on behalf of his people, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What we deserve, Jesus endured, and what he accomplished, he graciously gives to all who trust in him. And to receive this gospel message as a child, Jesus means with that, you and I each must recognize and believe this is a desperately needed gift for us and for our children. For as I said, we are all guilty sinners. All of us outside of God's kingdom on our own, left to ourselves. Yes, but this is the good news. Christ came to this world before we called on him. And he accomplished the way of redemption. He comes to our children before they know anything of their misery. And he pledges to them the way of remedy. All through Jesus Christ alone. And receiving this gift in the way little children often receive gifts, do we hold out our hand just to receive what God graciously promises and gives to all who ask? To all who receive what God, who may receive what God promises freely, all for Jesus' sake alone, even to cleanse us from all our sins and to renew us and to receive us as his dear children? Well, maybe a little story here will help by way of illustration as to what Jesus means with receiving the kingdom as a little child. As this story goes, quote, "The gold pieces were piled up on the outside windowsill. 'Take one,' said the sign." Well, all day long, people passed by thinking, "This fellow can't fool me. Nothing is free in the world, certainly not something of so much value." An evening fell, and the owner was about to remove the pile and to remove the sign. But just before he did, a child came by, read the sign, and calmly, without the least hesitancy, took one. This, you see, is a lesson about children that Jesus is making clear in our text, very simply. As another put it, the only possible way to enter the kingdom is by receiving it readily and trustfully as a child accepts what is freely offered to him or her. Spiritually speaking, we must all become as little children. We must become childlike in the sense of that intimate, humble dependency on the Lord. Are you childlike in faith? Is this what you promote in your families, also with your children? Are we paying attention to this simple teaching of Jesus? Shouldn't we all consider it, congregation? Shouldn't we consider it well and not be fools? Not be fools turning away from so great gospel offer. Shouldn't we be all ears and heart to the good news that Jesus, as one and only Savior of sinners like ourselves, promises for us and our children? What a Savior of salvation he will be and freely gives himself to be to all who trust him. Simply in faith, childlike faith. Yes, worked by the Holy Spirit. But let's not make it complicated. Here it's true too, isn't it? We make it complicated. Often what keeps people disinterested in the gospel and from becoming true Christians is because, well, we have our own long list of our own so-called good accomplishments and virtues. And so why do we need Jesus Christ and as only Savior and Lord? Why is he the only way? Or perhaps we have our own long list of objections to why it's impossible for us to believe the simple, supernatural, supreme, sovereign, gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we complicate it with all kinds of things. I love the story that I told to my children. You might have heard it before too, about a dad who wanted to communicate to his children the gospel, its simplicity. And he said to them, "Tell you what, kids, I'm going to go to the top of the stairs. You guys stay down below. And this is a contest. You have to come up the stairs without touching a step and without touching a railing. And whoever gets up to the top, I'll give you an ice cream." Well, the three kids below, they hummed and hawed, "How can we get up there without touching the steps and without touching the railing?" They couldn't figure it out. All of a sudden, one of them said, "I know, Dad, I know." And what was the answer? "You come down here, man. And let me go on your back and take me up to the top. And I won't touch the railing and I won't touch the steps." Oh, it's just a simple story. But it brings out, Jesus does it all. Let's just trust him. Let's rely on him and his gospel promises. Don't dishonor the gospel by making it wrongly complicated and setting hindrances also to our children. In the end, it's certainly true, isn't it? We are just plainly blind fools when rejecting Jesus Christ and his salvation so freely offered to one and all. How we need to think twice and more about this, also considering Jesus' warning in Luke 18, verse 17, where he says, "Verily, or truly or assuredly again, I say unto you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter therein, or shall in no wise enter therein." And this same Jesus teaches in Matthew 18, verse 3, where he says, "Assuredly or verily, I say to you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will by no means," the Greek says, "enter therein." So that's a serious warning, isn't it? Well, will there be any among us, beloved, who will refuse to hear the gospel and who will remain, therefore, outside of the family of God? Because you refuse to humbly take the true salvation lesson of Jesus and children to heart. How about you older ones, older youth here, young people, teenagers? You know, seeing this baptism of this afternoon, even six baptisms, I said to the consistory, in all my years in Calgary, I've had three baptism services here in Monarch the last 3-4 months, totaling 12 baptisms. That's more baptisms than all my years in Calgary. You're so blessed. But will you not take the message of word and sacrament to heart? Are you youth? Are you children who are getting older in youth? Are you taking seriously the gospel as your mom and dad tell you about it and as you hear it in church? Are you praying, "Lord, save me from my sin. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, work in my heart. Dear Father, draw me unto yourself, please, for Jesus' sake. Wash me clean from my sins." Are you so trusting and following the Lord? The Lord is calling you with word and sacrament. You know, in my years of ministry, I've had the sad experience more often of baptized youth who turn away from God, turn away from the church, and are covenant breakers. How sad that is. How sad. Don't let that be the case for any here. Oh, if the first 2 points under our theme, Jesus and children, where we considered his loving call to them and his loving lesson about them, doesn't draw you now as so most inviting and urgent, what about our last point? And that point, again, based on the text, telling of Jesus' loving blessing upon the little ones. Doesn't that come out in the text, his loving blessing upon them? It's in the Gospel of Mark that this is brought out most clearly and dearly. Namely, how Jesus took the children. Just to picture this, try to picture this. Jesus, God incarnate, he took the children, brought to him. He took them each one by one, in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a beautiful picture this gives, showing the most loving Savior God, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Jesus showed personal, genuine, attentive care and love for those who were brought to him. And he's still the same today, congregation. He's still the same today. I just want to share another little story. I had a picture once of a dad who works in construction. And he got up early in the morning, as he always did, for work. And he has a bowl of cereal. And they have a little one. And the little one always likes to wake up early. Doesn't want daddy to go to church, to work without saying bye to daddy. And daddy always puts a few little cereals in a bowl for the little one. And the picture shows daddy with his one hand eating cereal. And the little boy with his right hand eating cereal. And the little boy's left hand and the daddy's right hand holding each other. And they're not saying a word. Daddy's holding the little boy's hand, little boy's holding dad's hand, and they're each eating food. Such a beautiful picture of a bond of love and care for one another. But you know, when you become a covenant breaker, you put your hand out of God's hand. You put your hand out of the Father's hand. And the Bible talks about turning our shoulder against God. Is that what you want to do? Covenant youth and children? Teenagers? Older ones? No. Look to this God, because he's out to love you and to bless you, to work for you. What a loving, merciful, gracious, good-doing Savior of sinners Jesus is for all who come to him, time and again too. He continues to be good and kind and merciful. In fact, what does the Bible tell us? Later, Jesus, with his hands, what did he do? He spread them on the cross. And there were nails put through his hands. As he, as substitute for sinners, would obtain full and free salvation for his people, as many as would trust and follow him. If we and our children are not each and all blessed by this one and only Savior of sinners in this life, the Bible most clearly warns us, then we come under the curse of God. And then we must bear the punishment of God for our sins and sinfulness. That's not what you want, is it? No, but hear the gospel. Look at God in Christ Jesus, so caring for sinners, and especially so reaching out to believers and their little ones in his mercy and loving kindness. Well, hear how Christ is calling through word and sacrament this first Sunday of 2021. The gospel calling is to find refuge in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Yes, you and your families, you and your children, we as congregation of the Lord, to receive his endless blessings from out of his fullness through his finished work on sinners' behalf. It is his free gift for us and our children that may be ours, each one, that he may be ours by grace through faith in this Savior, trusted and obeyed. Well, may we as parents and as consistory members and as preachers, may we teach and show our children no gift is so precious and wonderful as being received by Jesus and being blessed by him in his love and mercy and forgiven by him all our sins and given the free gift of eternal life. No blessing can match that ever. Even so, may God triune bless his people here today and save sinners by his gospel word and through his sacrament build up his people. And to him be all the glory. Our Savior God, as given by the Father and made known to us by the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. Hallelujah. Amen.